All right, brethren, if you will, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We just sang that song by Miss Crosby, "Draw Me Near." We were made to love. His love for us drew us nearer, consecrated us to Him, to serve Him. And then we have a desire to be with Him. That's our text today. I didn't read that song before I got my notes ready. That's my point. That's my point for this morning. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love perfected in us." Every true child of God, every true believer, those that are in Christ, they experience three types of love. There's three true loves that we all experience. That's the title of my message, Three True Loves. And those three experienced loves are going to be our divisions. That'll be our points for this morning. Now, the Scriptures speak of a common faith that all believers have. It's the same throughout believers. There's a common salvation, common trials that we all experience together. Those things have affected all believers in all countries throughout all time. There's some things we all go through as believers. Something each child of God experiences. So what are these three true loves that are common to all of us? Common to all His sheep, His children. And we're going to look at them today. The first one is the love of God towards His people. He loved His people. The second one is our love towards our Lord. He loved us. Second, we love Him, the one who loved us first. And third, our love toward our brethren, those that Christ died for, our brothers and sisters in Him. Then at the end of those 3 points, we'll look at a question. How can I know if I have this love? It's what I've experienced, what I've felt, what I've been put in me. Do I love Christ? Do I love my brethren? How can I know? I want to know. All right, so let's begin there. Look at verse 10 again. There's a love of God towards His people. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Herein is love. John's saying, right here's love. What's love? Here it is. Not that a man or woman loved God. Not that we did Him a favor. We did something that pleased Him and He was just twiddling His thumbs, hoping we would. But that He loved us. He loved His people. Almighty God loved His people first. When was that? When did He love us? He loved us before time existed, before the foundation of the earth. Turn over to Jeremiah. We know these things, but it did me a great blessing to sit and read through them some and look at it as I read it. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, we're going to look at verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old and said unto me, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of this love that's been from everlasting, because of His love for us before we were created, because of this everlasting love, therefore, with all loving kindness have I drawn thee." Because He's loved us forever, He draws us. We're not drawn because we love Him. He said, "I've loved you before you were ever a thought. And I drew you. I pulled you." That's our hap, like Ruth. Y'all ain't happened to be here this morning. The Lord drew you here today. We'll see that a little more later. But if God loves you now, That's an everlasting love. Right now, if God loves you, He always did love you. His love is everlasting. That means it doesn't have a beginning. We know that part. It doesn't end. There's no end to His love. If He loves you right now, He loved you yesterday, He's going to love you tomorrow, and it ain't going to stop. That's assurance. It never began and it will never end. And it doesn't change. The everlasting love. That's the time limit of it, but that's the top of it too. It's an unchanging love. Why? Why would His love not change? He doesn't change. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. A few books over to the right. Just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3. Because of God's everlasting love for Christ. And those put in Christ before the foundation of the world were drawn to Him. We just saw that. And here Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." He does not change. His love for His people in Christ do not change. And because of that, because of who God is, He's holy, He's perfect, He's immutable. Changes not. It says there in verse 6, "Therefore." Just like in Jeremiah 31. Because of this unchange, this immutability. "Therefore, because of this, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." And the perfection of God's holy, unchanging, everlasting love, His elect are not consumed. And they're drawn to Him. Because of who He is. Because of what He is. What He's done for His people. God loved His people because He is love. And God cannot be anything less than perfect. That means that His love is a perfect love. It's a perfect love. Now back to our text there in 1 John 4. This perfect love of God towards His sheep draws us to the feet of Christ. And we're shown that there's now, therefore now no condemnation. We're drawn and we're not consumed before the Father. But how can this be? He said, "I will by no means clear the guilty." He can't be within sin, that holiness, that unchangeability. He can't be within something that's corrupted. How can He love us forever, from everlasting? I know what I am. The Spirit's convicted me of that. How could this be? Look here in verse 10 again. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins." This perfect love, this drawing love, this love that now and forever has removed our sins, this rests solely on Christ the God-man. That's our foundation for Him being the payment, that satisfactory payment, that propitiation, that mercy seat, that mediation between us and the God that we offended. Now it's possible. How could this wonderful love be possible? In Christ. In Christ. That's kind of simple, isn't it? In Christ. That's kind of complicated for us too, isn't it? We try to wrap our heads around everything else. In Him. He's all. John wrote to us in his gospel, in John chapter 3, said, "The Father loveth the Son." How does the Lord love His people? In Christ. The Father loves the Son. "And hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Because of our life is in His hands. The everlasting life is in His hand. Christ's hand. And love is in His hands. He goes on to say, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Christ is the centerpiece. The foundation. The cornerstone, isn't it? The love God has for believers, for His sons and daughters, His children, is in Christ. Those that are not His children, those that are not drawn, they're not kept, they're not preserved, they're not provided Christ as their propitiation. The Lord does not love them. Everybody says, God is love. Yes, He is. That's true love to His people that are in Christ. David told us in Psalm 7, God is angry with the wicked every day. As we just heard from John there in John 3, the wrath of God abideth on him that's not in Christ, that doesn't believe on Christ. Those outside of Christ are not loved. It's only in Christ we're loved. Paul told us there in Romans 8, said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Where's that at? "Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." His love for us is in Him. Is that starting to sink in, I hope? Because of who God is, because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ our Savior, our sin atoning sacrifice, believers are eternally loved. We are drawn and we're not consumed. Him. Because of Him. His love for us. And additionally, if that wasn't good enough, He's our propitiation. He's our mercy seat. Our satisfying sacrifice. Christ suffered the cross for His people, bearing our sin and our shame. Those He loved before the earth was, we were made His righteousness. I don't know why you want to look for any other righteousness if the Lord gave you His. Can you do better? He is righteousness. We're not just set back to a clean slate. The Lord didn't just save us, love us, and put us back to zero. Now it's up to you. We put you on the right track. You've got to keep it straight. No, we're made holy in Christ. Because we're made one with Him. We're made joint heirs with Him. Forever, no matter what. If we're His. Because it's everlasting love. He loves us. He doesn't change. He drew us. We ain't getting away. We don't want to get away, do we? It's holiness forever. Does that fluctuate? I feel like, well, there's most days I'm down so low. I don't want nobody looking at me. I'm shameful. But does it fluctuate? Do I have to do something? Do I have to get better at it? No. Christ is all. What's that mean? Everything that's required of a believer, of His child, before the Heavenly Father, for eternity, forever. Anything that's required of us, it's in Christ. That's right. Our life's in Him. Our salvation's in Him. Our sanctification's in Him. Our surety is in Him. I don't feel assured. I feel down. So people may be offended me. I shouldn't be saying that, telling you all that. I do. I have days of just horrible doubt and worry. It ain't in me. My assurance isn't if I have it. My assurance is Him. It's Him. When I look to Him, I'm assured. He's able. Lord's able. Christ is able. Jude told us He is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless. Perfect, holy, without fault, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy? That sounds like love to me. Does it to you? Herein is love. He wasn't lying. That's it. So every believer, every child born of God, they experience the love of God in Christ. We may not know it perfect. May not experience long, but we've experienced it. Secondly, every believer experiences a love towards our Lord who first loved us. We experience His love to us and we have love towards Him. Christ's sheep love Him. Apostle Paul told us, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, marathona." That means let him be cursed whenever the Lord comes. It's foolish. It's childish. It's silly for a person to say they know God or they love God and they do not know, believe, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." I know God, but I don't know Christ. He hasn't revealed Himself to you yet. They're one and the same. If man does not know Christ, he does not know God. If he does not love Christ, he does not love God. Our master told us, he said, I and my Father are one. They're the same. In John 8, those scribes and those Pharisees brought that adulterous woman to the temple. And they started bombarding our master with questions. They gave him about 46 verses worth of questions, arguing, just picking at him. Shameful. But they finally said, oh, we're Abraham's children. We're the seed of Abraham. And our master told them, he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You'd be like your father. And how was Abraham? Abraham believed on Christ, and that love that was bestowed on him and he had for him, it spilled out. It come out of him. He believed on the Lord. And then so they replied. They said, well, we have one Father. God's our Father. Christ told those, he said, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I'm of him. Why do you not understand my speech? He told him as plain as he could. He said, why don't you understand what I'm saying? And he answers it. He said, because you cannot hear my word. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? Because you can't hear. He told them, if you're a son of God, if you're a child of his, if you love Christ, and your new man hears him speak, we have some understanding of who he is. We have some understanding of what he accomplished. We are given ears to hear his word, and we love our elder brother. We love to hear him speak. Turn over to John chapter 21. John 21. Our master is going to ask Peter some questions here. I cannot get this. Hold on. There. Our master is going to ask Peter some questions here, and he cuts right to the chase. You want some catechisms or some a questioning board of counsel to examine you? Here's our master doing it. Cuts right to the chase. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again a second time, just ask him. He said, you feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Christ did not ask Peter if he felt really bad about his sin. He didn't say, Peter, do you mourn your sin? Do you have enough guilt in you? Do you feel guilty enough, Peter? He didn't ask him that. He didn't ask him if his faith was strong. Do you have strong faith, Peter? He didn't ask him if he had assurance. Are you comfortable all the time? Are you confident in Christ all the time, Peter? Didn't ask. Are you saved, Peter? People ask me all the time. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you let him in your heart? They have all these questions. He didn't ask me that. Look here in verse 17. And he asked him a third time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because the Lord had asked coming to him a third time. He don't believe me when I answer him, does he? Why does he keep asking the same thing over and over and over again? He grieved. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And he said that every time, didn't he? He said, thou know I love you. Thou know I love you. And here he says, thou, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. You know everything. You don't just know my love. You know all things. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Same answer. Peter went from saying, Lord, you know I love you, to you know all things and you know I love you. He was, after he was grieved, he had come weeping. He had to have some grief there. The Lord asked Peter three times, do you love me? And then every time he said, you feed my sheep. This is the foundation of a believer's motive in the gospel. That's a foundation of our motive for furtherance of the gospel. For everything we do is loving Christ. Love from God manifests in us into a love for Him. Then we have a heart to serve Him. We want to feed His sheep. That's why I preach. I love you all. I care for you deeply. But I love my Master. I want to honor Him. I want to praise Him. And if I do that, you'll be fed. If He enables me to do that, you'll be fed. That's why a child of God attends service. That's why you're here today. You love Him. I'm not that appealing. You love Him. You want to hear more about Him. You want to hear those words from Him. That's why we support the work. Not because we have to. It's not something to do. We love Him. We love Him and we love our brothers and sisters in us. His love constrains us. His love motivates us to serve Him and to love our brethren. There's an illustration growing up my pastor used of a nurse and a mother was in a hospital. Small baby, little boy's there on a bed sick. And that mom sat next to him and nurse sat next to him. Nurse is fishing. She's trained. She does a real good job. Cares for that child, sometimes better than the mother can. She knows more of it. 3 o'clock comes. She punches that time card and leaves. Mother stays there. Next one comes. Next nurse comes in. She cares for that child diligently. Takes care of that child. 11 o'clock comes. She punches the time clock. She leaves. Mother's still there. What's the difference? That mother's not earning a wage. She ain't getting paid. It's not a reward system. Love. Love's a reward. That's the answer to it. All right, now back to our text there. If we love Christ and He dwells in you, then I love you. You see that? This leads to our third point. What are these three true loves that all believers have in common? First, God loves us. We're the object of His love. Second, we love Him. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And third, our love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look here in 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, after this manner, this is how He loved us, we ought also to love one another. We've experienced that love He's had towards us. We've experienced that love we have for Him. We ought to love one another after that manner. All believers love one another. This is true. When God loves you, shows you His love in Christ, and you love Him, then you love everyone that Christ abides in. We have brothers and sisters in Papua New Guinea, in Russia, the Ivory Coast there in Africa, the Yucatan, China. I can't talk to them. They can't understand me. I can't communicate with them. But if I've received a good report, if I went down to the Yucatan and Walter said, "This man's faithful, Kevin. He loves our Lord." And he told him the same thing. I don't have to speak to that man. Don't have to talk to him. I'll sit right next to him. If he goes get water out of a well, I'll help him carry it. Why? I love him. Why do I love him? He loves my Lord. Christ abides in him. Now I love Christ. He loved me first. See how it goes? What did the Savior say there in John 13? He said, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples. If you," what? "If you go to church regularly." Oh. "If you quit some kind of outward sin. Stop doing this. If you say more religious things, quote more verses in public or some of that." No. He said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one towards another." John had just told us that up in verse 8. 1 John 4:8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Those that have a new spirit, those that love their brethren, we see here in verse 12. "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Why did John put that in there? Why did he say, "No man hath seen God at any time"? That seems kind of out of place, don't it? He just said we ought to love one another. Why would he say, "No man hath seen God at any time"? If we have love for one another, God dwells in us. Look down in verse 20. 1 John 4:20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen," I see you, I can touch you and hug you. "If he loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? No man's seen him in flesh. We've never seen him. If I ain't going to love my brother, what makes you think I'm going to love him? It's an impossibility for a person to be loved by God, to love God, and for them not to love their brethren. It's not possible to love Christ and not to love Christ in our brethren. If he dwells in them. If he dwells in me and he dwells in you, there's no way that we cannot love one another. Now, our new man's going to love one another. That's going to happen. That old man's just going to hinder it. It's going to get in the way. But that new man's going to love that new man and the next, and their brother or sister. So this threefold love is the same for all God's children. Someone that has had that everlasting love of God bestowed on them, someone that has a love for Christ, and someone that loves their brethren is a child of God. Now, I very seldom use the word Christian. You may probably never heard it come out of my mouth. I rarely use that. Over the centuries, it's been abused and misused and misinterpreted, and it's just slung around. I don't hardly use that word. But this is who a Christian is. It's a person that was loved of God, that cannot change from eternity, drawn by Him in Christ. A person that loves God in Christ. And a person that loves their brother, Christ in them. To be a true Christian is to have Christ abiding in you. It's Christ in. How's that happen? How are we to have Christ in us? There's a regenerative work that takes place. A new heart's given in a man or woman, and that new heart's made alive. It's quickened. There's a new birth. This is a son of God, a child of God. They are born again in the heart from and through that everlasting love of God. John told us there in chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." We're not just called church members, sons of God. We're not just called someone that was baptized. They don't just call us, "Oh, he's the man that reads his Bible a lot. He's the man that prays a lot. He's very vocal about church issues." No, we're called sons of God, called his children. Right now, if Christ has done a work in our hearts, we are, right now, sons of God. And we don't know what, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we'll be made like him. Because his children are saved from wrath and were made pure. Both the water and the blood. Salvation is a work of God alone, done in the heart, believed in the heart, known in the heart, experienced in the heart, and lived from the heart. How we serve. It all has to do with the heart of a person, not just their mind, their body. Paul told us bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits in all things. He told us in Romans 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." He said, with the mouth makes confession unto salvation, but from the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart work. All believers are convicted of sin. We knew we fell in the garden. We know what we are today. I know what this flesh is. You know what it is too. All believers are convinced of the holiness of God. He's holy. I'm not. He is. I don't know what that fully means, but I know He is. And we've heard the gospel. We believe the gospel. We've received the gospel. And we confess Christ. But from the beginning of all that, God has given a believer a new heart. A heart like our Savior that loves God. A heart that loves God for who He is and what He accomplished for us. And this new heart loves God's people. That leaves a lot of people with this question. How do I know if I love Christ and I love my brethren? I know these words you're talking about. Do I do that? I ask myself that. Do I love? Do I just think I love? There are many true believers that ask this question at one time or another, or they may ask it for many years. Is that me? Do I love Him? How can I know I love Christ and that I'm His sheep? That sounds like a hard question. I disagree. I think it's an easy question. How do you know you love your spouse? You love him grandbabies? How do you know? Do you love your children? How do you know? How do you know you love your children? You got a long time friend, grew up together. You love them? How do you know? Well, I love them. A few points to that love. If you love a person, you enjoy thinking about that person. You don't have to be reminded of their name. You don't forget them, do you? You think about them all the time. My children are a part of me. They're an extension of me, and I enjoy thinking about you. You are on my mind all the day. Think about you all the time. Christ in you is our hope of glory. We don't forget Him. His children don't forget Him, those that love Him. We think on Him because we are one with Him and He dwells in us. It's like a pregnant mother. Don't forget you got a baby in you. It's with you all the time. If you love a person, you enjoy hearing about them. My mother calls me, and I could talk to her about a new coffee cup I got for an hour and a half, and she would listen the whole time. I ain't seen her in a long time, and I could just talk for hours about nothing, about the family or about just meaningless things. And she listened the whole time. Why? She loves me. She wants to hear about me, don't she? She's on the other side of the country. She wants to hear about me. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to hear Him, hear His Word, hear about Him, learn more about Him. Things that's probably insignificant to most people, that's important to us. I want to know those little things. Tell me more of Him. Tell me the truth of Him. I want to know Him. If you love a person, you like to please them. Anything you can do to make them happy, you'll do it. You bend over backwards for them. And if anything that displeases that person you love, it hurts. If I think I've offended one of you, that hurts me. I lose sleep over that. That's why we understand so well what Paul said there in Romans 7. We love our Redeemer and we despise ourselves, don't we? We see what we are. We want to please Him. We want to serve Him. If you love a person, you love the people that love them too. If someone's kind to my family member, if someone's kind to you, they love you, I want to be kind to them. We have a lot in common. That benefits me too, doesn't it? If I'm kind to those that are kind to the ones I love, it benefits me. Just the same, if a man or woman loves my Lord and He loves them, then I love them. Even if we don't speak the same language. Don't have to. Love them anyway. And if you love a person, you're happy to be in their presence. You don't avoid them. You long to be with them. You want to be close to them. You go out of your way to be with them and to hear from them. 10 years ago, this Zoom stuff, I guess the technology's got a lot better in the last 10 years. I was Skyping Kirma and them children from the other side of the world. And I had to walk about a mile and a half to get to this hot little tin can out in the middle of the desert to get on a computer that barely worked. And about a 30-second delay and a grainy screen and everything else. And I go over there every chance I got. Why? I wanted to see them. That's all I had to be with them. I'll take it. You think I got mad? Said, well, that's too much work. I ain't talking to her. I ain't looking at them children. I'd have stood in line. Do whatever it took. Because someday I'll be with them. Someday I'll be with them. We long to be with them. Many of y'all traveled a long way to be here. And some of y'all traveled dangerous roads to be here. But you come to hear about Christ. Come to get a message from Him. It's worth it because you love Him. If you love a person, you want to be with them. You want to hear with be in their presence. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I long to be with Christ, to be made like Him, to listen to Him, be close to Him, and truly serve Him. Minister to Him. Be a servant. And please Him. That day will come. And it'll be gain, won't it? Until then, what do I have? No man's seen Him. I got you. Him dwelling in you. How I treat you is how I treat him. And I pray the Lord make me love you. Be kind to you. Amen.